praise God. God is a good God. Hope everyone made it through the storms. Obviously, you're here this morning. So for some of you that are Rhema students, and that was your first tornado experience, a good thing we didn't have tornadoes around here, but that's just kind of normal thing. And Twister 2 is coming out in July, so you can enjoy that. My good friend Travis Meyer did a great job keeping us all informed about the weather. Stayed up half the night. Amen. Please continue to pray for Mom and Dad, the Crusade team. They're in Pulleyup, Washington today. Tonight they start. That's actually north of the Seattle area. But we had some issues in the airplane is down right now. That's why Dad's not here this morning. But more than that, yesterday afternoon, they spent a long time at the Tulsa airport and flying in planes with cancellations and delays and everything else, and two different airlines in order to get there. But they finally, I think they got to the airport about 1 o'clock, and they landed in Washington State about 12:30 our time. So they spent all day at the airport. My dad was in his really good mood. He's almost 85. He's tired. It makes everyone grumpy at the airport, those kind of things. But, they're there. Please pray for them. They need lots of prayer. My mom needs lots of prayer to be with my dad. No, I'm just kidding. My mom texted me, said, My dad was in rare form, okay? So that's just some. And I get it. We've all been there at the airport, where we're just waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting patiently, hopefully. But it is what it is. Also, today is a special day. He is actually not here because he's actually with my parents. But 30 years ago today, I was in the hospital waiting for my first son to be born. Cameron is 30 years old today, so I want to say happy birthday to him. He's not here, I know it makes me old, that I have a 30-year-old now, so it's pretty wild. And, Cameron is actually, doesn't feel called to be a minister, but he's very involved here at the ministry, pretty much involved in almost everything that we do. In fact, it was Cameron that was the one that was responsible for this LED screen behind us. He does a lot of the special projects around here, and he's very involved here at the ministry. So happy birthday, Cameron. You're probably not watching, you're probably sleeping, but anyway, it's 8:43 their time, so I'm sure he's asleep. I'm sure my parents are asleep. I'm even half asleep, who knows? Amen. So a couple of weeks ago, actually, I ministered, And I was actually going through my notes, and I noticed that normally that when I minister on faith, it's normally on Wednesday nights, and there's more people that come on Sunday mornings than Wednesday night. And so I decided to, because I didn't finish my, well, I will probably never finish my faith notes, but the notes, the scriptures I gave them last time, I didn't finish it. So we're going to do part two of the same faith series. And, we'll kind of review for those of you who weren't here 2 weeks ago, or for those of you who slept 14 days since last time I ministered, or those of you have, that are getting a little older, mentally can't remember everything, or more mature, I'll say it that way. The first scripture we read was Romans 10:17, and obviously it says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." If any of you have ever heard my grandfather read it, he would read it this way: "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God." He would continuously say, hearing over and over and over and over again. If you need to get more faith, I encourage you to get a hold of the scriptures. All right. And now we also pointed out that back in the day, whenever the scripture was there, faith comes by hearing, that these people did not have the Bible to actually read for themselves. The only way they could get a message was from someone speaking to them. Now, obviously, the Bible was being written. It was written in different letters. But depending on what church you were at, each church only had one letter. Or Corinthians had two, because they must have been bad people. But anyway, that's a whole other thing. But your average person didn't have, nobody had a Bible. All right? And we live in a way different era than they lived in. But not only do we have a Bible, most of us have our Bible on a device and have many different translations that we can read from our Bible. So when we read that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, faith also cometh by reading the Word of God. In fact, you know, it is sad that a lot of Christians don't read the Word of God. Now, they might read a book that Brother So-and-so wrote, but they don't read the Word of God. Now, obviously, in that book, there are scriptures there, but we need to get a hold of the Word of God. And if you need more faith, we need to hear more faith. But also, too, if faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, us ministers need to preach on faith more often because everybody needs to continue to hear. It's not just hearing one time. It doesn't say that faith comes by having heard the Word. Faith comes by continually hearing the Word over and over and over again. If you were a follower after my grandfather's ministry, that you know that from the time he began preaching till the day he passed on to heaven 20 years ago, that he basically spoke on faith over and over and over again. Besides my grandmother, I probably have heard more faith messages than anybody else in the universe. And maybe since she's been passed away for 20, I mean, my grandfather's been passed away for 20 years, maybe I still have heard more faith messages than anybody else because I've heard them over and over and over again. But I'm here to tell you that every time that I hear a message or every time that I study and preach on faith, I get more stuff every time. I mean, you know, I get enlightened more time. And in fact, 2 weeks ago when I preached this message, I heard many different people, even folks that you know, traveled out of our church, having ministers, had told me that the Lord actually spoke to them, gave them things they never had seen before. And these are scriptures we all know. In fact, I'm not going to read one scripture today that you probably can't quote yourself. But you know what? Just because we can quote the Word doesn't mean we're a doer of God's Word. Just because we know the Word doesn't mean we're putting it into practice. You know, you can hear the Word over and over and over again, but it doesn't mean that you are actually putting it into practice in your life. In fact, my grandfather in one of his books said that a lot of people have a capacity for faith. We've heard faith over and over again. We just never use it ourselves. It's just like you could study any sport you want. Now, you know, I use a sport like racquetball because a lot of people don't know how to play racquetball, never played racquetball. You know, I've used to play racquetball quite a bit, haven't played in a long time. But you can study all the racquetball you want, read about it, watch any kind of racquetball videos that you want to, but that doesn't teach you how to play racquetball. Now, that gives you the rules. You can watch other people. I tell you what, but there's something about getting hit by the racquetball the first time that really changes things, especially if you're playing somebody who's really, really good who can hit the ball 100 miles an hour and you have a whelp for like 3 weeks, you know, which I've had that before. So praise God. Amen. But, you know, just by reading the Word of God doesn't, you know, it builds a capacity for faith, but you actually have to put it into daily practice. In fact, my grandfather said in that book, he says a lot of Christians are spiritually fat on faith. We've heard faith over and over again. You know, it's just like if you fed yourself over and over and over and over and over again and ate a lot of food but never got any exercise, you would be fat. All right? And so we have to exercise at some point in time. Now, we read 2 weeks ago, we were reading from Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11:1, New King James says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." That we pointed out that when faith comes in, it's always now. Faith is always present tense. Hope is always future tense. All right, a lot of people think they're in faith, but they're really in hope. If you're saying that I'm believing that I'm going to get my healing or I'm going to get something, that's not now, that's in the future. All right? The Bible clearly says that Jesus Christ took the stripes on his back, and by his stripes we were healed. It doesn't say we're going to get healed, it says we were healed. You can't get something you already have. All right? When something belongs to you, you already have it. So, you know what? You can have $1 million in your bank account, which that would be awesome. How many like to have $1 million bank account? I mean, you know, if I didn't see every hand in the room, that's. Some of you guys are sleeping or you're texting or whatever. I guarantee you everybody in this room would like to have $1 million in bank account. And if you're not, if you don't, then I want to have your $1 million. So you realize you can have $1 million in your bank account and never use it. You can never, I mean, you can actually die of starvation with $1 million in bank account. You say, well, why? That would be stupid. So is people who don't use their faith. All right, you know, something belongs to us, but the way we receive it is through our faith. Now, a lot of people are still in hope whenever they've, I mean, we don't realize, or sometimes we don't realize, how good our God is and how good Jesus was to sacrifice his own body so that we could be healed and we could be set free. You know, and a lot of people, you know, they think their salvation or the, Jesus dying on the cross, they gave them a boarding pass to heaven, but there's so many more advantages than a boarding pass to heaven. All right, yeah, we have a boarding pass to heaven, but we've also been healed. We've also been set free. We also have dominion over the devil. The Bible says that resist him and he's going to flee from us. You know, he says the devil's under our feet. We have all these things, but we don't act like it because we don't really probably believe it. But when faith comes in, it's always now. Now, I also talked about that I looked up the word faith in the dictionary, Webster's New World Dictionary, or yourdictionary.com. And this definition is my favorite definition. It says an unquestioning belief that does not require proof or evidence. An unquestioning belief means that you should never ask God, when is this going to happen? God, why is this not happening? Because if you're asking a question, that means you're not in faith. It's a litmus test to know whether you're in faith. If you're asking if you're asking God a question, you're not in faith, according to the dictionary. All right? But it says an unquestioning belief that does not require proof or evidence. You don't have to see it. You just know it exists. And that's what Hebrews 11:1 says. Now faith is the substance of things seen, so for the evidence of things not seen. Our faith is the evidence that we already have it now by faith. Whether you see it or whether you don't, you still have it. And I don't care who tells you you don't have it, because some people think you're cuckoo. Because you're saying that you have something that they don't see. But we're not depending on our senses or their senses. All right? We don't depend on that. We depend on what does the Word of God say. Now you realize that, you know, we're putting our faith in God. And if God can't do it, I don't know who can. Now the deal is that we don't, why would you question God? Like, God, why are you not doing this? I mean, our God is willing, able to do that. Now, Hebrews 11:1, the New Living says this, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It's the evidence of things we cannot see. So, you know, at one time we were in hope, then we just started getting faith. Now, here's the thing. I have noticed in my own life, and probably yours as well, although, you know, I don't know about your life. Well, maybe some people, but, you know, just because you're my Facebook friend doesn't mean I really know you. All right. Just because I shake hands with you at the door doesn't mean I really know you. I might know you by recognizing you, but I don't know everything that you go through in life. But I do know that there are times when I would like something, I want something, and I'm hoping to get something. But there's also other times when I decide, I mean, it's a switch that turns on. I decide that I am going to use my faith for that thing. Now, 2 weeks ago, I talked about golf clubs. You know, I just got to a point, I was actually in a meeting with my grandfather in Richmond, Virginia, and I decided while he was preaching that I want a new set of golf clubs, and I decided I'm going to say a prayer, use my faith, and I did, and I got those golf clubs, you know, in record amount of time. Why? Because I believed. But see, before that, I still wanted those golf clubs before I actually decided in faith, but I was really kind of hoping that maybe I might get them, but then I began to get serious about it. At some point in time, you got to get serious about your thing. Now, I found that it's easier for people to get serious about it when it's their healing, because you know what? If every time you move your arm hurts, you want to get rid of that pain. All right? But I found that when it comes to finances, people can do without. Now, they would like to have something, but they do without because they're like, you know, I don't know. They think it's too hard. They think, you know, I have no clue. But the thing about it, at some point in time, you got to really decide, I'm going to make this. This is what I call it, my faith project. Now, if it's my faith project, even though I don't see it, I know the day I prayed that it happened. It was because now faith is. And there's no person on this earth, there's no devil in hell that can talk me out of getting it. Why? Because it's mine. All right, it's mine. Now, you know, growing up, unfortunately, you know, I was probably a little bit more of a selfish individual, all right? You know, if it was mine, you're not going to take it from me. Sometimes I wasn't good at sharing, all right? You know, because it was mine. Well, that, you know, when it comes to our faith, we should be selfish. It's mine. I take it now. No one's going to take it away from me. This is my situation. This is my whatever. Now, I always encourage people to make it their screensaver on their phone or on their device or whatever. And if you want to, show them, here, this is my new car. Well, I don't see a new car. Actually, that's my son's race car. But anyway, you know, because whatever you think is pretty awesome, that's what you put on your screensaver. So, you know, I'm in the racing. So that's what my screensaver is. Actually, on both of my devices, because I don't have a faith project right now. If I had a faith project, then I'd have a picture of whatever my faith project is. You know, maybe $1 million. Maybe that's what I need to put on the thing. I'm going to take my million and your million too. All right, so. All right, and then we read here from the Amplified Classic Translation. It says this, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Now, I like the word title deed because we all understand titles. I mean, if you have an automobile, then you have a title to that automobile. If you have purchased a home, then you have a title deed to your home. Now, when you have that title, that means it's yours. More than likely, it's probably yours, but you probably share it with the bank. All right? But the point is that your faith, whenever you have faith for something, you are given the title to something you cannot see. Now, think, if I have the title, it's mine. In fact, if I have the title to something and you decide to drive it away, it's still not yours. All right? Now, I can let you borrow it, whatever, or you can steal it. But if I have the title, then I can go to the authorities and get my stuff back because it belongs to me. All right? It's mine. Now, the thing about it is, when it comes to here, now the title deed, like I said, maybe on your house or your car, you have a finance company there. But when it comes to God, the only thing you have is you and God. And that's the thing about it is, sometimes we need to understand that you and God are a team. I should say God and you, because God's way more important than you are. All right? You know, and so the thing about it is, whenever you have faith, you have the title, even though you don't see it. Now, I guarantee you, people are going to remind you that they're going to say you don't have it. No, they just can't see that I have it. Now, Hebrews 11:3 says this, and I didn't give him my notes there, but Hebrews 11:3 in the New Living says this, by faith we understand the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. God made everything that we see in this universe from nothing. In fact, Genesis 1 says the earth was null and void, and God said. Do you realize God spoke everything into existence? And when God spoke, it wasn't there. So you know what? When you're speaking, maybe people don't see it, but you know you have it. Now, I used the Toyota commercial, 2 weeks ago. And some of you might remember the Oh What a Feeling Toyota commercial. If you don't, you can probably YouTube it. And so if you ever watch TV or watch the commercials or whatever, a lot of people don't watch commercials anymore. I know that if there's a program that I watch, I usually DVR it and watch it later on so I don't have to watch commercials. I mean, I skip over the commercials. So the bad part about it is the people who advertise that spent all that money on advertisement, they don't get to commercialize me or whatever. But Toyota had a commercial said, "Oh, what a feeling." It had people jumping around because they got a new car. That's what they say on Friday. I like saying it that way. That's what Price is Right always did. You know, they always say, "A new car." Anyway, but anyway, they got a new car and they were jumping up and down. But the thing about it is, whenever we pray, when we ask God, because we have it by faith, we should jump up and down when we pray when we don't see a new car. But we know a new car exists in our life because we asked for it. And we believed. Now, see, the thing about it is, usually we don't jump around and shout whenever we pray because sometimes we don't even expect it. I've often said that if God would meet 75% of your need, you'd be happy with that. But we serve the God of the overflow. The God that's more than enough, that exceedingly abundantly, more than we can ask or think, you know, gives us that. And I talked a couple weeks ago about my golf clubs, that he not only gave me my golf clubs, he gave me a golf bag. He gave me everything I needed to look like the best golfer in the world, but it didn't make me a better golfer. But I was at least able to pay for lessons. It did help me a little bit more. But I mean, I had golf clubs, golf balls, you know, golf hats, golf shoes, you know, even a golf towel, golf tees, golf, you know, everything that I needed to look the part. I look like a professional golfer until you see me hit my first ball. Then I did not look like a professional golfer. But it is what it is. I want to read this before I skip over my notes. But Hebrews 11:6, New Living says this, "And it is impossible to please him without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him." Now, the Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith. Why? Because you cannot get saved if you don't have faith. All right? And here's the thing, the same faith that you use to get saved is the same faith that you use for anything that you need from the Lord. There's no different faith. It's not a different faith. And so it's really easy. I never hear people say, "Man, Craig, I came forward to get saved. It was just so hard. I mean, I've been praying and praying and praying and praying. I just don't know if Jesus Christ wants to come into my heart or not." You know, I've never heard people say that, but I have heard people talk about how hard it is to receive this from God, to receive that from God, you know, whatever. Now, here's the thing about it is, it says that it's possible to please God without faith. You know, that doesn't mean that God doesn't love you, all right? Even if you don't use your faith at all, God still loves you. You know, I will tell you as a parent, that my boys didn't always please me. All right, they did things that sometimes antagonized me, sometimes made me mad, sometimes, I mean, but there's nothing that my kids could do that would ever make me not love them. All right, God loves us. But, you know, it's really awesome to watch your boys, you know, or watch your kids, you know, I happen to have boys, but to watch your kids, you know, do what, you know, things that you've instructed them to do, especially, you know, whenever they've been able to believe God for their own stuff. I know my grandfather, he always would get excited as he would watch his quote unquote spiritual children, you know, receive things from God. I know a number of times whenever we were on the road, he would call up some of the Ramah Singers of Banner, or maybe even some other graduates that weren't necessarily pastors or whatever. They were just young students or whatever. And he would get so excited to watch them, you know, get up and testify or whatever. It would inspire him. It would please him, you know. And I know, I always think about, if I put myself in a situation, if I was God, or if I was Jesus, think about this, and I'm going to go on record. I'm not God, and I'm not Jesus, okay? I don't want people to think that. But sometimes we should put ourselves in that. So, especially if I was Jesus. If I was Jesus and took 39 stripes on my back, hung on a cross, you know, agonized about that and, you know, did all these things. And you're like, you're not even using what I gave you. I sacrificed everything so that you, you know, that you could live life and have it more abundantly, according to John 10:10. And you're not even using your faith. So it wouldn't be pleasing to me. You know, I still love you though. You know, the deal is, why wouldn't you use your faith? Well, the reason we don't use our faith a lot of times, or reason we don't stand strong in faith, is probably because the devil tells you you can't. Which, that's funny, because we all know he's a liar. But the deal is, what happens is, we live in the real world. We see, it's so hard to believe things we can't see. Except for you that grew up with imaginary friends. If you had a vivid imagination as a kid, you should get the faith stuff really easy. All right? I mean, you know, if you had imaginary friends, if you had like stuffed animals, or if you're a guy, you know, G.I. Joes or whatever, and they're talking to each other and doing all these kind of things, and, you know, because I'm here to tell you that I guess now with all the technology, I guess stuffed animals can talk because they put these little talking things in there, or even G.I. Joe probably can talk. I guess even think if we had to pull a string, and then that's, you know, they would say something or whatever. But the deal is, if we had great imaginations, you should be great at believing God, because even though you don't see it, you still, I mean, I know these, there are some kids that believe it exists because, you know, their imagination runs wild. Man, you guys should be the best faith people in the world. Just because you doesn't see it, just because you don't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. All right? Because Jesus did it for you. Now let's go to Mark chapter 11. That's really where I wanted to start, but it was had a long intro here. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. And if I sign your Bible, this is the verse I'm going to sign. Mark 11, 22 says, "So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith in God.'" And I like to say "have faith in God" and drop the mic, because I believe that that is the element that we Christians miss the most. We forget about having faith in God. A lot of times when we're speaking, we're not thinking about God. We think that we're trying to get it with our own strength. You're not going to get anything with your own strength, because if you're going to get it with your own strength, you wouldn't need to believe God for it. You wouldn't have to use your faith, because it was your own strength. But we have to put our faith in God. And the reason I say that is because it makes faith a whole lot easier when you know you're not the one doing the work. All right? All you're doing is putting your faith in God. Now, you know, one translation here on this verse is "have the faith of God." And the faith of God is pretty simple. Going back to Genesis 1:1, we said the earth was null and void, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Why was there light? Because God said so. All right, and the reason I want to point that out, because, you know, when we go to Mark 11, 23 and 24, we speak things into existence, and we're using our faith in God to speak like God spoke in Genesis 1:1. When God said, "Let there be light," he basically said it with his mouth, believed it in his heart, and had what he said. All right, and that was Genesis 1:1. All right. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And I always want to point out, God didn't do anything else but speak it into existence. He didn't try to make the light on. He didn't, you know, pray that the Lord would lead somebody on their behalf to turn the light on for him. All right? He didn't fast for 40 days and 40 nights. He didn't give a $1,000 faith offering. He didn't do any of that kind of stuff. He spoke, he believed, and it worked. It's that simple. Why did it work? Because he had faith in himself. Because he's God. Because you sing the song, God is God. He's God on the platform. He's God back in the amen corner. He's God all over the place. And he's God whenever you're believing him. He's still God. And you know, the thing is, I believe that Jesus, decided. So here's Jesus here. He says, first of all, have faith in God. That's the most important part. If you don't have faith in God, the rest of it doesn't work. All right? So then once our faith is in God, then Jesus said, for assuredly I say to you that whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now, the most important thing that Jesus says here was whoever. And the reason I want to point the whoever out, because I have been told by some theologians, well, they haven't told me personally, but they tell you on Google, that this scripture is a great scripture, but it's only for the disciples. Well, you realize the disciples, you know, were there because Jesus was talking to the disciples, and I get that. But Jesus didn't say, hey, you guys. All right? He says, whoever. Or the King James, whosoever. And I don't know how many times I remember my grandfather says, you are a whosoever. And the reason you need to know that this scripture belongs to you. All right, you're a whosoever. Now, what does it say that a whosoever should do? Well, a whosoever should speak to their situation. Now, I personally believe that Jesus, now he was looking at a mountain, and I believe he used that illustration because it was so incredibly hard to do that, you know, such an impossible feat that you know, it's like, there's no way that a mountain is going to uproot itself and be thrown into the sea and create a new island. I mean, that just doesn't exist, does it? I mean, my mind can't comprehend that. And because my mind can't comprehend that, it's hard for us to comprehend that God wants to meet all our needs. You know, because we're like, well, Craig, this is impossible. Well, do you realize that we serve the God of the impossible? And I believe that Jesus used this illustration that says, you know what, it doesn't matter that it's impossible for this mountain to be uprooted and thrown into the sea. If you put your faith in God and you speak, it will be done. Now, you know, maybe Jesus was, you know, metaphorical talking about whatever your mountain is, because you probably, you know, I personally believe if for some reason that I needed the mountain to be gone and thrown into the sea, then it would happen. Why? Because the Bible says so. But I haven't got to a place where I'm like, you know what? I don't like Mount Everest there anymore. I think we should move it. You know, but I have got to a place where I have my own mountains that are in my way. All right. And so I speak to those mountains. But the deal is that Jesus used an impossible situation to let us know that we serve an impossible God. Now, many people, when it comes to faith, are like, but Craig, how is God going to do it? Well, first of all, how's the question? So how, if I'm asking how, I'm not in faith. All right. But here, I'm here to tell you, and I want to say this, you know, publicly, I've said this 2 weeks ago, say it all the time. I don't know how, folks. I don't know how God's going to do it. So you tell me how God split the Red Sea, and I'll tell you how God's going to do it. You tell me how three Hebrew boys went to a fiery furnace, turned up seven times hotter, that killed the guys that let them in. And the only thing they got burned up were the ropes. They didn't smell like fire. I'm here to tell you, if you go to a campfire and make s'mores, you're going to smell like smoke. But these kids didn't. How'd that happen? I don't know. It's not for me to figure it out. And the thing, I think that's the deal. If we would quit trying to figure out how it's going to happen, quit trying to use our mind, well, how's God going to do this? I don't know how. It seems impossible. So is moving a mountain. So is all these things. And so I don't care how impossible your situation seems. And I think that's what we get caught up on, impossible. And then you have the guys who are thinking, you know what? I need $2,000. What's $2,000 when it comes to moving a mountain? See, the deal is, it depends on how big you think your mountain is. Because for some people, $2,000 is a lot of money. And for some people, $2 million is a lot of money. But it doesn't matter that we serve the God who's more than enough, who's able to do exceedingly abundantly more than you ask or think, but you gotta believe, you gotta trust in him with all your heart. But you speak things in existence, and I believe that's the one thing I've been pointing out a lot of times, and if you heard my grandfather talk about, you realize in this verse, there are three different occasions where Jesus tells you to speak to your situation. And he says, first of all, I say unto you that whoever says to this mountain, so number one, you say to a mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done. So those things he says, so once again, he's saying it's going to be done. He will have whatever he says. So three times that there are the words saying when it comes to you. Only one time here in this verse does the word believe there. Now it says you shouldn't doubt and you believe, but it also says you should say, 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 you should say. You can have whatever you say, and if you don't like what you're having, you need to examine what you're saying, because you're going to have whatever you say, because it works no matter what. The more you say things, the more you'll start to believe them. And the more you talk about how bad the economy is and how hard it is and how you never have enough money and how you can barely get by and how it's always so tough, I tell you what, the more you talk about it, the more it'll be. I'm going to use my own example because I was an idiot, all right? But anyway, but I got to hold my book. Don't be stupid. And it changed everything. No. For a long time, I mean, I had this nasty habit. Some people can, you say, nasty habit? What kind of nasty habit you had? I would always say I'm tired all the time. Like 18 million times a day. Maybe not that much. 70 times 7 or whatever, because if I would wake up in the morning on the wrong side of the bed, forget to have my Wheaties or whatever, I don't know. There's times you're tired. And so I would confess it all day long. And you know what? The more I confessed it, the tireder I got. And for you that I'm around, there might be a time or two, maybe I do tell you I'm tired, all right? But I don't confess it all day long, all right? Maybe I should sleep more. Those are things. Unfortunately, my mom raised me, and that's the issue. My mom doesn't sleep. She sleeps like 4 hours a night, all right? And so my mom will gladly call me and it's 2 o'clock in the morning because she knows that I'm probably up. That's just the way we do things. My mom never gave me a bedtime. Growing up, I didn't ever have a bedtime. I know that's probably mean or whatever now, but my mom did say this: if you gripe in the morning time, I'm going to give you a bedtime. So I just never got, I didn't say I got tired when I was going to school. Maybe I got to school, I would say I'm tired, but anyway. So I finally decided to quit talking about how tired I was, and I magically didn't get as tired anymore. In fact, here's what I tried to do. When my brain thinks something, sometimes I say the opposite. When my brain thinks I'm tired, then my mouth says, thank you, Father, that the joy of the Lord is my strength. thank you, Father, that you strengthened me. So when we say something over and over again, we speak into existence. And the deal is, a lot of times we got to speak opposite. And many of you know, obviously, I've dealt with some kidney issues. And without trying to be too graphic, but it's the only way I can think about it, is my kidney doctor let me know that there's things that I could see in my urine that I would know that I'm producing too much protein. And if I saw that, I would know that my kidneys aren't functioning properly. And any time I saw where that my kidneys were not functioning properly, instead of saying, oh my goodness, my kidneys aren't working, I would say, thank you, Father, that I am well. Thank you, Father, my kidneys are working perfectly. But what I saw wasn't perfect, but I wasn't moved by what I saw. And I would confess it over and over and over again. If you know anything about I mean, it's just, speaking has always been something that we always do. And I know if you've ever ate with my parents, there are certain faith projects that we say every time we pray, whether we pray in the morning, morning devotions, whether we pray, we're going to sleep, or whether we pray over your food, we tack it on at the end of each prayer. Now, one thing my parents always, they tacked on during the thing was, thank you, Father, that Craig's kidneys are perfect. They were tacked on all the time. I say it over and over again. Anything that time I had a faith project, over and over again, I would say it. Now, especially whenever you face what Dad calls an obstacle. I call it an obstacle. But anyway, there are some times where you're believing God for a financial thing, and it just seems that while you're believing God for a financial blessing, that you have other things that are trying to keep you from a financial blessing, like, your starter went out on your car. So now you got to fix it. Now you got to do all this. And you're thinking, well, I'm getting further and further behind. No, that's just the devil being the devil. Because what happens is we get frustrated. And we say, well, I'm just going to throw in the towel. Quit throwing in the towel. It doesn't matter what all these things you face. You know what? You are going to get through it as long as you keep believing. And like I said, now, it's not up to you to figure out how it's going to happen. All it is up to you is to do the speaking part, do the believing part, all right? I mean, you do need to do a lot of speaking, but you still got to believe as well. Do you believe what you're saying? I heard a story about Brother Roberts, who actually called the young minister and asked him, hey, do you really believe what you're preaching? And he goes, yes, sir. I believe. Well, you need to believe it. Sometimes even ministers don't believe what they're saying. And sometimes we say, well, yeah, I believe it. Well, if you believe it, are you putting it into practice? I mean, what are you saying? Now, I think one of the best things that I actually heard, and this is not something that I came up with, I don't know if she came up with it or not, but I read it on her Facebook, Terry Savelle Foy, who just lost her father, keep praying for the family. They're going through a tough time, obviously. She had this, and I really like what she said, and it will help us during our confession. All right, she said, anytime you say something, after it, you should say, and that's the way I want it. So if you were to say that I never have enough money, and that's the way I want it. I'm always sick, and that's the way I want it. I'm always tired, and that's the way I want it. I can't guarantee you'll quit saying things you don't want. If you put, then that's the way I want it after that. And it'll be like, I always have enough money, and that's the way I want it. Everything always works on my behalf, and that's the way I want it. See, we'll start speaking positively if we put in, that's the way I want it. So what I want you to do is that the next time that you open a bill with an amount of money that it looks like it might be hard to pay, and your brain thinks, how am I never can pay this, then you're going to say, that's the way I want it afterwards. Instead of saying that, you say, thank God. My grandfather, he would say this, it's another opportunity to show that God is faithful and will get us through this situation. Another opportunity. See, faith is a knowing, not a wanting. When I have faith, I know I have the answer. It's mine now, and nobody can take my answer away from me. All right? Now, like I said, I continue to speak. And because my words shape my life. Just like we read in Hebrews 11:3, and the reason I wanted to read that is that when God spoke the world into existence, there was nothing there, but everything happened because he said so. Now, I need to close. Maybe we'll do part three. I preach again next week, by the way. You used to see me preach, so maybe we'll do part three next week. But anyway, just because it's about time to go. And I'm never going to finish my faith series, all right? I have a series out there called The Basics of Faith. There's a three-part series that I did in 1992, I believe, or something that like that. I'm a lot better now than what's back there. It's interesting part about it was those three sessions, there were three sessions in Killeen, Texas, and back in the 90s that I did, and we put it into a CD thing. And it is really good, but I teach Faith Library too. In those three sessions, those three notes from those three sessions is my notes for the whole class for 13 sessions or however many long, you know, because now I can preach longer on the same notes or whatever. My notes actually got so worn out, they fell apart. So, you know, but, you know, and those are what we're preaching from here. But our faith, you know, what are we saying? What are we saying? Are we speaking things into existence? Are we speaking negative things into existence? Don't speak positive, I mean, don't speak negative testimonies or anti-testimonies. And I'm going to leave you off with this before we go. You know, because it just hit me because I preached on this the other day on Thursday. But I was at a hospital room one time. And, you know, unfortunately, that's one thing that pastors have to do is hospital room where a lady just got diagnosed with a certain kind of cancer. All right. And her best friend came in with an anti-testimony. In fact, I want to kick her best friend out, but she's her best friend. So what am I supposed to do? What do you mean anti-testimony, Craig? Well, so this woman, I can't remember what kind of cancer, you know, any kind of cancer is bad. Doesn't really matter what kind of cancer, because what matters is the devil's behind that cancer, and cancer has to go in the name of Jesus. But instead of her best friend coming in and being a word of encouragement, her best friend comes in and talks about her Aunt Susie. Aunt Susie had the same kind of cancer, and for 3 years she suffered all kinds. She went through all kinds of things that Aunt Susie went through, but praise God, Aunt Susie's in heaven today. And I'm like, can you shut up and leave? You know, maybe she thinks she was trying to prepare the woman or whatever, but don't give anti-testimonies. I don't care what happened to Aunt Susie. I don't care even what even happened to you. That should not affect my faith. All right? I mean, you know, so, man, don't be saying stuff like that. What you say is very important. And sometimes we need to watch the words that we speak. What kind of words are we speaking? Are we speaking life words or are we speaking death words? You know, the power of life and death is in the tongue. Our mouth speaks things into existence. We don't know how powerful our mouth is when we hook it up with God's word. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We praise you. We magnify your name. We thank you, Father, for each and every person that's in this room and each and every person that's watching online. We thank you, Father, that you'll help us to understand faith like never before. Father God, help us the next time that we begin to speak negative words, be able to say, you know what? No, I'm not going to say that anymore because that's not the way I want it. But Father God, help us to always speak faith in a positive manner. At every single time. Now, with head bowed and eyes closed, if you're here this morning, you say, Craig, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. If you've never accepted him as your Lord and Savior, you can this morning. If that's you, if you'll raise your hand across the auditorium, if you want to be saved, never been saved before, raise your hand. We want to pray with you. Or maybe here today and you say, Craig, I don't know whether I've ever been saved or not. I've been in church a long time, but you know what? You can live in a garage and not be a car. You know, just because coming to church does not save you. You have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So if you want to have what my grandfather called a no-so experience, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm looking for any hand. I know most of you probably are saved, but if I want to give anyone a chance. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you a chance to know him today. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now. If anyone is here that needs Jesus to become the Savior of their life. Father, we thank you for sending laborers across our path on a daily basis. And we thank you, Father, that they will be saved. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You want to sing something?
You said.